as with many intense experiences, it distorts time. So in a way, it seems like it's been a very long time ago since I've been here. In another way, not very long at all. I would like to read this evening from the Bhagavad Gita. The unenlightened ones mark not that spirit when he goes or comes, nor when he takes his pleasure in the form, conjoined with qualities, but those see plain who have eyes to see, holy souls see which strive thereto. Enlightened they perceive that spirit in themselves, the foolish ones, even though they strive, discern not, having hearts unkindled, ill-informed. Know too from me, shineth that glory, gathered glory of the suns, which lightened all the worlds. From me the moons draw silvery beams, and fire fierce loveliness. I penetrate the clay, and lend all shape their living force. I glide into the plant, root, leaf, and bloom, to make the woodland green. With springing sap, becoming vital warmth, I glow in glad respiring frames, and pass with outward and inward breath to feed the body by all meats. For in this world being is twofold, the divided one, the undivided one. All things that live are divided, are the divided, that which sits apart, the undivided. Higher still is he, the highest, holding all, whose name is Lord, the eternal sovereign first, who fills all worlds, sustaining them, and dwelling thus beyond divided being and undivided, I am called of men and Vedas, life supreme. And our Bible reading this evening comes from St. John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 23. And Jesus said, saying, "The hour come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." I'd like to speak this evening on the unfoldment of self. Two powerful verses, one coming from the Bible of the East and one from the West. Two great masters speaking the self-same truth. And what is it, this truth? How do we relate to it, to our lives, as we know it and live it today? Within each of us, there burns a divine flame. But as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, the unenlightened man knows not this. Now when we set upon the spiritual path, we begin to suspect the truth of this nature. Perhaps we have an experience in which we experience that flame of truth, that flame of spirit within us. But at first, the light is dim, and there is oftentimes great darkness and travail in between. But as we travel upon this path and we stay earnest and sincere in our desire to know and love God and the truth, comes a tremendous welling up within us. As we experience the vicissitudes of this life, all of the dualities of the pain and the suffering and the joy and the laughter, we come to realize that in and of itself, this world, this body, this ego of ours, can that truly give us nothing of lasting pleasure. And so Jesus speaks of those who are attached to this world and the things of this world. In the way that it is translated here, he says that he who hateth this world. Now in the beginning, we must learn detachment. We must learn that there is nothing of this world that can give us truly lasting happiness. And yet, I do not agree with the word hate, and it is probably in the translation that that comes down. For to hate is to imply something different than I think that the Master meant. What Jesus meant was to love God more than anything else, to not let anything stand in our way for our striving to know truth and to know love. These are the two great attributes of which by we know whether we are truly on the path. Do we love more? Do we feel the sense of truth more? It is not enough to read books or go to see a teacher or go to church in order for us to gain enlightenment of ourselves. There is only one true measuring stick by which we know whether we are progressing or not, and that is whether we are feeling love in greater measure, and not just love for wife or husband or children, but love for all the world, for love for spirit that is equally divided unto all the world, for an impersonal love as well as a personal love that wells up in your heart, that is not directed solely at one person and not another, but rather encompasses life and all of life. There are experiences that we have on the spiritual path. And for me, a tremendous experience that I have often is just a tremendous natural upsurge of love in my heart. It's a physical sensation as well as an emotional one. And it strives out and it just flows out to whatever and whoever is around me. It does not care for person or rank or privilege. It honors all equally, those who are high in station in life and those who are low, those who are in ignorance and those who are in enlightenment. And so by this kind of love, by this quality, might we know whether we are truly advancing on the spiritual path or not. And then there is truth, the truth of enlightenment. And this is not an intellectual truth. It is not coming to a conclusion through reasoning, but rather it is the intuitive flash that we experience. It is that which resounds through every cell of our being. When you experience spiritual truth, you are taken beyond yourself, and you are given a greater vista, and it is given automatically, and it is given in a way that it feels like a gift. And it takes you beyond yourself. And so, in this way, when truth comes to you, you might know that it is truly from God. There was a time when I was walking down the path of a forest lane, and I was lifted up in spirit, and I saw that everything about me was but an idea upon God, hanging upon God, that the trees that were around me, the path, the people who were with me, my very body, myself, were idea fragments hanging upon God. And it truly took me beyond myself. It took me by surprise. And it was a gentle surprise. It was a wonderful thing. And I stayed in that state for a great period of time, and eventually that state began to dissipate. But the truth of that time, the truth of that spiritual upliftment, stayed with me. And even now, as I think back upon it, I can feel what I felt at that time. And I can see, for the very vision of my eyes changed as I saw all that was around me as ideas rather than as solid fragments. And so it is with these spiritual experiences, that we move in and out of them, that there are gifts that are given to us and we are uplifted. And we think, aha, of course. And we realize it in a deeper and truer measure. But when we move out of ourselves, when we strive to go beyond ourselves, in an ego way. Then there is much hardship, there is tension. There is a sense of separation and desperation. There is that feeling that we are alone in this world, and that is when we know that we have stepped outside of grace, that we have stepped outside of spirit. And so by tuning ourselves to spirit, we gain that greater quality of feeling at one with things, at one with life, and we do not feel that we always are separated from it. Now, it does not mean that the world does not cease to be difficult at times, and it does not mean that we are not sometimes fully cognizant of what we need to do in every particular moment, but rather that we feel a surety, a shield, if you will, that God consciousness is within us and that life is unfolding as it should. There was a philosopher, a Jewish philosopher, Martin Buber, and he named two different types of ways of being. One was enfolding, and the other was unfolding. The enfolding, as he was living in Germany about the time that the Nazis came to rise, he compared enfolding to propaganda. It was a truth that had to be pushed. It was something that had to be sold. It was something that did not come from within, but rather seeked to influence from without. It was not a respecter of individuals, but rather sought to move large populations in singular directions. Unfoldment, rather, came from within and sought to enlighten the individual and uplift people in that way. And it came without strife. It came without all the kinds of unsurety that not knowing the truth, not having the truth to put out, brings along with it. And so the unfoldment of the soul is very different from the characteristics that we find in enfoldment. Oftentimes in religion, we notice that the characteristics of that religion appear to be far more attuned to enfoldment, trying to push a truth, trying to sell something to someone, rather than unfoldment, which is leadership by example, which is by first living the truth, and then those who recognize can follow that truth. It is my belief that what we are all about in our group here is unfoldment. That we are not trying to sell anything to anybody. We are not trying to force our views upon masses of people. But whether we are trying to live by example, we are trying to prove the truth for ourselves, what we are all about. And so we do not push. We do not have to feel a sense of tension and strife around the things that we do. We do not need to worry about how many people come or how many people do not come. But rather we come here in the sense of holy spiritual worship. We come here that we might taste of the essence of life and the essence of God. And through that experience we might transform ourselves. And knowing such, we know that in transforming ourselves we touch the lives of many who are around us, either silently, through example, or perhaps through speaking. And yet, through example is the greatest way. It is the way of spirit. In Jesus' example, as he lived his life upon this earth, he proved through his own actions to be in attunement with his words. And that is which gives his actions such great power. It is your character. It is who you are within you, who truly conveys a message. There are many thoughts today put out. There are many different kinds of self-help books that try to improve who you are by changing outward things, changing the way that you dress, the way that you smile, different techniques, that you might be able to take those techniques and improve your sales or improve your business or improve your effectiveness in the world. And these are good. However, without having those true character traits that lead towards real happiness, all of the skills that you learned, all the different little techniques that are taught, will lead to naught. For you will have remained in ignorance even while you achieve success. And there are those who have achieved great success and remained in ignorance, and they suffer the consequences. But there are also those who achieve great success, as Rajashri did, and they also strive after truth. So the poor do not have a special commodity upon achieving truth, just as the wealthy do not. But rather, it is those individuals who seek to go that extra mile, who seek to give themselves towards life, towards being, towards truth and love. They are the ones who change this world and uplift it and give it true and lasting value. It is very interesting to look back over history and see what characters, what vocations, people who have a continuing impact today, what kinds of things they did. And invariably we see that those who have the greatest impact today are people who have achieved enlightenment, such as Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, or Jesus, or Krishna, or many of the others who sought to know themselves first, and then through example, lead the world. There are those who try to achieve leadership by bossing those around, by directing those who are under them. And yet they may get obedience, but they do not get true following. For those who are influenced in such a way do not truly want to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone ahead of them. Rather, they obey because they are in fear or because they hope to get close to the seat of power. But those of true greatness lead by leadership of their own example. Mahatma Gandhi, I believe, is a great example of this, that he lived what he spoke, and that he did not deviate from that. And so he became a great leader in this world, and those that follow him out of love, and they wish to replicate what it was that he achieved. They do not want to attain power or prestige for itself, but rather they first change themselves. And then it is those qualities that attract a leadership role to them. And so it is with ourselves, that within our lives, that if we want to achieve true greatness within our lives, and greatness is not necessarily defined by being well known or achieving great wealth, but greatness is in terms of your character, of who you are, and how you influence those people around you. Then concentrate on those character traits which lead to great spiritual beingness. There are many technical types of ideas and thoughts that we can achieve in this world, and they are great and wonderful things. They lead towards productive ends. But without fail, for every technical ability that we achieve, it carries with it the potential for its opposite. And so we find that oftentimes those greatest discoveries are used in acts of war as well as in peace. And so it is that there is nothing in this world that is of purely a spiritual nature except for your very being, your very self. There is no action that you can achieve that would achieve the ends that you want except achieving enlightenment within your own consciousness. And then whatever actions you are guided to, whatever and however life unfolds within you, you then fall into a leadership position And those who are around you, whether you speak of God or your spiritual life or any other things, feel a certain presence about you. They are uplifted in your presence. And if they are attuned to the Spirit, then those souls shall rejoice together in silent communion. There's a tremendous story of Lao Tzu and Confucius coming together. And they taught very different philosophies. And Lao Tzu was you might describe him as a character. And he did not obey conventional forms of the day, but rather he strove to really break them and to shake up the apple cart, you might say. Whereas Confucius was very much involved with reverence for the elders and for the ones who had gone before and for social convention. And so when they met, they had tremendous clash. And they did not agree. And they had a fight when they met each other. And yet there was a recognition within each that they had met a truly great individual, a great soul. And when Confucius was asked about it later, many of his disciples were very worried, for they felt that Lao Tzu had greatly insulted their master. But he said, "I do not understand all that he says and teaches, but I do understand that there is greatness in his being." And so while we may not all agree, and never will agree, on the mental plane about everything that has gone on in this life, still, we can recognize the greatness of being within one another. We can rejoice within the spirit of one another. And there find our oneness. And there find true happiness. And there we might join together in leadership in this world in order for it to unfold into spiritual awareness, into spiritual enlightenment. And there is but one way for us to do that, and that is to achieve our own enlightenment. There are those who have asked me whether I am fully God-realized or not, and I know that I am not at this point. I have gone through many tremendous experiences, and I feel that I have made some progress upon this path. And sometimes I wonder whether I'm capable of even following in the shadow of our Guru. But there is a knowing spirit within me that knows that it is through this path and with your help that we will keep each other on the path, that through leadership you will show me when I am in darkness, and that through leadership in my own unfolding, that I might share with you that which I have achieved in spirit. And that as we grow together, we grow in light, we grow in love, we grow in harmony. And it may not always be that we agree on every detail, or that we agree in every way. But the truth is that we can recognize each other's spirit, that we can recognize each other's truth and each other's love. And so it is that we focus our minds and our attention upon God alone, not seeking gain, for that is not our thrust. That is not what we are about. But we are rather about to change our own self. As Jesus said, that the self must die. The corn seed must fall to the ground in order for it to give true birth to its greatest self, that part of it which the stalk grows up unto the light with its roots firmly into the ground in order to yield its fruit. And when its time is ready, it falls unto death and scatters seeds, that there might come new risings up. And so in our lives, let us not seek to hang on to life, but rather let us seek to live life. And when the time of dying comes, whether it is an individual ego death, or whether it is a death of this body, Let us lay it down willingly and gladly in the service of others and of God. And let us watch the new seeds rise up. And just so with our own guru. Let us not let her seeds go to waste. Let us not see her life being thrown onto barren ground. But let us rather prepare this ground, whom we are, this character, this self, and most of all this great self within us, that we might rise up into a strong, strong plant, and that we might be a shade unto those who are under the illusion of suffering and of pain. When I was with Mother and first beginning to go through spiritual experiences, I imagined Mother and saw her as this tremendous oak tree with great gnarled branches that went out as far as the eye could see, really. It was huge and tremendous and very strong and very firmly rooted into the ground. And I saw myself as a young sapling that was nearby that yet needed a fence around it, that needed some protection. In my own mind and within my own spirit, I realized that that tree is grown beyond that tiny little sapling. And it has taken on more, and still it is not yet what it is totally going to be. And so I see all of us in our spiritual selves striving to be what we can be and best in God. But when we meet others, either within this group or outside of it, and we see that they are not who we think they should be, let us understand that in this life we are all injured. There are times within all of our lives that we receive painful experiences, and through those experiences we learn to survive. There is a saying that given the choice between being right and being safe, that most children will choose to be safe. And so within our lives we strategize to be safe. We strategize so that we are not hurt further. And so we build up walls around ourselves. We build up strategies in order that we might protect ourselves. And so we limit ourselves in that way because we do not truly express the full expression of God. But the truth is, we were doing the best that we could at that moment. We were doing the best that we could in order to survive, in order to protect ourselves, in order to protect that flame of spirit within. But the time has come when we must rise up, when we must drop away those partial functioning ways of protecting ourselves, those ways that we have learned long ago in order to be safe, and realize that we are no longer little children in this world, but we are now adults, and that it is time that we can pursue more. There are ways for us to be safe within the spirit that defy conception within this material world. And as we realize God more and more within ourselves, we find ways of being safe in the spirit, so that when our understanding in God is great enough, that we do not even regard the safety of this body as the last thing that we must protect, but rather we can willingly sacrifice it when the time and the need comes. So let us no longer hang on to old values that no longer work for us. Let us rather seek a new dawning of a new day of our own spirit, of our own mind, that we might unfold in spirit, that we might unfold within our own beings, and that our leadership comes not through coercion, not through fear, not through pain, but rather through the leadership of our own spirit, and how we unfold within. And as we lead with our spirit, we lead on in peace and surety, and we know that God perceives us and is with us and will protect us evermore, and that we never fear to be alone may never fear that we are left without resources. And even though it may appear around the world that there is nothing for us there, that God is there. He is ever with us. There was a time when I was in England, and it was a strange experience that I had. I had a ticket in order to leave for the next day, and I realized that they had misdated the ticket, and it was about 6 o'clock, and I went back to the place to get it changed. And I knocked on the door, and they were in there, but it was just a couple minutes after six, and they had locked the door, and they just looked at me sitting at their desk, and then they looked back down. And I thought, well, it's just a simple thing to change this date, so I knocked on the door some more. And they would look up, and pretty soon they quit looking up, and they were just looking down, ignoring me. It was time for them to close, and they were not going to acknowledge that I was there. And I just was overtaken by a sense of grief, a sense of tremendous aloneness and disappointment. And tears began to go down my eyes, and it was a reaction that was not appropriate to the circumstance, and yet I just felt overwhelmed with the sense that I was alone in the world and by myself, and that I had no resources, and that I had ran out of anything I could do to change the circumstance. And so I walked in the streets of London, and I had tears going down my eyes, and I was really oblivious of anyone else around. And I went down some dark streets, and I didn't even know where I was walking or where I was going to. And all of a sudden, I felt this tremendous comfort. It was like an arm that went over my shoulders, and it just lifted this burden off of me. And I had been thinking about God and thinking about how alone and how separated I was from Him. And in that moment, I felt a tremendous oneness with God. I felt the presence as if it was a separate, individual presence next to me. And I felt this arm on my shoulders. And I felt comforted. And I no longer felt alone and desolate. But rather, I just felt this tremendous love that just started to pour through my heart. It's a very strange experience of why it came about. And as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the unenlightened mind does not know where the spirit comes or where it goes. It sounds very familiar to something that Jesus once said. And so within our minds, we cannot anticipate the coming of spirit. We cannot anticipate and know through logic when enlightenment will come to us, or when we feel our tremendous oneness with God and the love of God and the truth of God within our beings, within our consciousness, within our hearts. These things are unknowable to the human ego. But to the enlightened mind, there is a surety. There's a sense of being able to step out on faith. And so we too, sometimes without enlightenment, must step out in faith, must step out and trust that God will be there, that He will help us along in whatever path we choose. Let us no longer keep ourselves separate from God. We are the ones who pay the penalty. We pay the price. But rather, when we experience our oneness with God, I feel such a tremendous love of God pouring through me now. And I feel that that's the potential of everyone here. And it is not something that comes with a physical cost, but rather the cost of desiring. And even if you do not feel you have the desire that it requires, ask God for that desire. It seems like a strange kind of a thing, but when you ask God to give you a desire for Himself, it is the greatest gift, and He willingly and gladly gives it freely. So let us no longer keep ourselves separate from God. Let us enter into the world of unfoldment. Let us enter into the world of spirit and be transformed and changed, and no longer reside as a separate individual, but as a soul in union with the great oversoul, that is in communion with all souls, all life, all intelligence, all energy, all love, everything. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And in truth, Jesus went through a time of unknowing. He went through a time of feeling separate, afraid, not sure of himself. But the greatest hour was that hour in which he struggled with that unknowing, when he struggled with that not being sure of what was going to happen, or perhaps even being sure of what was going to happen, but was really wondering whether it was worth the price. And so he was able to work himself through that. He went through the experiences, even though his ego recoiled from it, even though he did not want to go through it. And so there may be a part of you that is resisting it, afraid, or feeling apart, or untrustworthy, or how will you survive, or how will you make your living, or how will you look in your friend's eyes, how will you be judged by others? But in truth, there is only one judge of your life, and that is you. And for this purpose, you came into this life. And it is for this purpose you have come. And so let us align ourselves with that purpose. Let us keep ourselves in tune with that purpose and not let go of it, but rather hang on to it for dear life, for it is the very source of our life and our being and our consciousness. So in the unfoldment of ourselves, let us focus there first and seek God first. Love God first, serve God first, and then all other things shall be added unto us, and we will be taken care of in every way. We need not fear that.